talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. And we got quite the show in store today. Lieutenant James Edward, game warden, wildlife administrator, and whatever else you want to call him. He is in the studio with me today, and he's been a busy man. So we'll get more on him with coming up in the next segment. First, let's check out some temperatures. My glasses are either dirty or they won't stay up. 86 degrees at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell. 83 degrees at the May Ranch, 86 at Fairview, 89 at Hobart. The warm spot in the whole state of Oklahoma right now, Mangum, Oklahoma, 92. And coming in second is Hollis, capital of Harmon County, 91. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, 92 at Odell, 89 at Wellington, 88 at Miami, and 84 at Lipscomb, and 86 at Paladora Reservoir. So there you go. More weather coming up. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. More on what's for dinner coming up here pretty quick, which is beef. Got that going on. It's hot. It's dry. I'm surprised there's not some red flag warnings or watches out. It's getting dry in a hurry, so we'll get that going. Studio line is wide open. If you have any questions for Lieutenant James Edwards during the show today, send us a message at 580-225-9697. He pretty well knows all the rules for all of Oklahoma, so don't be bashful up there, Woodward. Send some messages down here that you're curious about something. But anyway, we'll have that coming up. First of all, let's see what happened overnight besides the hurricane. Grain and soybean futures rose overnight and increased tensions in the Black Sea region. Russia, which has launched attacks on Ukraine since last February of 22, let me rephrase that, of 22, said it destroyed four Ukrainian military boats carrying as many as 50 special force members. Moscow, in a statement that the boats were carrying landing parties when they were destroyed. Russia also claimed to have repelled a drone attack near the ports in Crimea. I hope I said that right. Ukraine reportedly launched drone attacks in several regions of Russia, leading to shutdowns at airports in and around Moscow. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, I don't even know how to say that name, is expected to visit the resort town Sochi, the site of the 2014 Winter Olympics, to meet with Russian President Putin to discuss reopening the Black Sea Grain Initiative. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 6.25 cents to $6.06¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while in Kansas City, futures added 2 pennies to $7.31¼ a bushel. Corn futures for December delivered gained 4 cents to $4.90¾ a bushel overnight. Soybeans overnight, November delivery added 6.5 cents to $13.92½ a bushel. Soy meal rose $2.30 to $4.14.20 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.52 cents to $63.85 a pound. North Dakota wheat harvest slowed by rain. The biggest grower of spring varieties in the U.S., North Dakota, that is, in the 7 days that ended yesterday, according to the report from the North Dakota Wheat Commission, said rainfall had slowed her way down. About 54% of the spring wheat crop was harvested as of Sunday, up from 39% a week earlier, but still well behind the prior 5-year average of 63%. The precipitation was mostly in the northern counties, slowing down the collection of the grain because that's where they lack being done, is up in the north part. A bigger issue this past week was high humidity levels, heavy fog, and thick morning dew. These conditions made for very short harvest dates and made harvesting impossible on some days. Warmer temperatures and fewer chances of rain are expected in the coming week, which will likely help accelerate harvest, according to the report. About 37% of the U.S. spring crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week, down from 38% a week earlier. Hurricane Idalia, is that how you say that? Idalia? Yeah, something like that. Anyway, it has intensified and is now a Category 4 hurricane. And it is just, that was this morning. So but it did get up to 130 miles an hour wind. Looks like, to me, looking at radar a while ago, the peanut farmers in Georgia are crying right now. It is hitting them hard. So some of the Florida will receive anywhere from 9 to 11 inches of rain. Parts of Georgia and the Carolinas, there's just no telling what they're going to get. So flooding is expected all through there. Much of Nebraska is under an air quality alert due to smoke from the Canadian wildfires. People with health problems or sensitive groups such as older adults, children, and those with lung or heart issues are mostly susceptible to poor air quality. Need to keep that in mind today in Nebraska. So anyway, let's see here. What time is it? All right. Let's see what the grain markets are doing currently right now. Everything is in the red except for hogs and hard red winter wheat. That's a little different. Corn, September 465 right now. December 484. Soybean, September 1369. November 1384. Soybean meal for September 41930. October's 411.40. Soybean oil, September 65.50. October 64.03. Hard red winter wheat looks like it's up about 4 cents, and it took a dive yesterday. September 7.18. December 7.32. Oats for September 4.91. December 5.16. Looks like to me this keeps it going the way it is, and next month oats will be as worth as much as wheat. Live cattle for August, 180.10, October 180.67, December 184.55, February was 188.65. Feeder cattle for August looks like it's down about 70 cents at 250 even. For August, September's 252.60, down $1.42. Lean hogs are up 82.55 for October, December 73.77. And February lean hog, 77.90. Cotton's is holding its own. October's 87, December's 86 cents a pound. And do you know Sugar Daddy? Brian Silt? Anyway, he's losing money today. Sugar is in the red today. So anyway, that's his nickname. You didn't know that? You haven't been listening to the show, have you?
I've always heard, but I never knew who it was.
Anyway, all right, let's take a Taylor Ranch happy hour break. And when we come back, I'll have a forecast for you out in the Texas Panhandle and a little bit about the Taylor Ranch. And then Lieutenant James Edward with the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife, he's a game warden in this area, will be on the show with us because all kinds of exciting. This is my favorite time of the year. Is it yours?
It's getting better. If it'll just get cooler.
All right. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife
that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 25th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,466 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 318 brought 348. 3 at 410 brought 330. 8 at 424 brought 320. 6 at 438 brought 314. 15 at 726 brought 239. 11 at 726 brought 253. 4 at 736 brought 237. 6 head of heifers at 374 brought 288. 9 at 450 brought 283. 7 at 535 brought 256. 12 at 552 brought 244. 14 at 622 brought 233. 5 at 668 brought 226. 15 at 683 brought 243. Butcher cows were 64 to 119.50. Butcher bulls brought 40 to 129. Bred cows were 900 to 2425. Pairs brought 1585 to 3400. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, well, welcome back to Today in Ag. 86.4 degrees here in the on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, 38% humidity, zero wind. And we have, I picked Odell. I haven't picked on Odell in quite a while, right down there on South Altus across the Red River. 93 degrees, heat index is 92, humidity's 33, dew point 60, the winds are out of the east at 4. Peak wind gusts so far today, I don't know when that was, at 11 miles an hour. And month-to-date precipitation, 3/10 of an inch. And red flag minutes today, 0. 8-inch soil temperature, 90 degrees. Taylor Ranch, supply chain issues continue to be an obstacle in our everyday lives. Lack of availability of items you need is becoming a regular occurrence and been going on since COVID. Buying ahead and stocking up is one way to bridge that gap. If you're the one that likes to keep your freezer full during these times, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They have quarter and half whole beef and available for sale in beef. That's the beef they're selling. They develop every animal if it was going to be served at their own table. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free beef also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. 405-609-4662. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. All right, in the studio with me presently. I always like it when you come in here. Lieutenant James Edward, I'm not even going to make fun of him today. Anyway, so I'm going to try to be professional, and it's hard to around him. But anyway, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Hopefully we get some cooler weather in the next few weeks, but it doesn't look like it's going to do very much soon.
There's no moisture in the forecast, and the triple digit's supposed to be back tomorrow, I think.
Typically,
all I know is there's a lot of dubs.
There's quite a few down this way. I don't know what it's like all the way up Woodward Way, but around here there's a lot of birds around. I know for sure southern Washita, Kiowa, Greer, all the way down to the Red River, there's just a lot of birds.
A lot of birds. And you know, it'll make for a good season, but as a farmer and rancher, we do need a cool front to come through, and we need some moisture.
That's what I was
going to
say. Typically, we've already had one of those pretty chilly cool fronts that comes through and pushes all our birds out, but we haven't had it so far this year. Like I said, hopefully we'll get some and everything like that, and get things cooled down and wet back down before it gets too bad.
There's a so why is it illegal to shoot birds off highline wires?
Well,
that's the only ticket I ever got from game warden Clovis Bond.
Clovis Bond out of Custer County.
Yep. I mean, he caught me red-handed. It was a bad deal. Anyway, I understand. Electric companies frown on it.
North Fork probably wouldn't be very, very happy with folks shooting at their highline wires. You know, it's just a safety issue, obviously. Shooting from a vehicle, from a road. We had an instance last year, you know, some guys shooting literally right in front of a house at birds in the road. So it's not only not ethical, it's just not safe. But
no, it's not. I was just a punk kid back then.
Well, some people grow up and some people change. And
actually, I was 20, so I guess I wasn't a kid. But I remember everything. And matter of fact, that's why I started teaching hunter safety with Jody Deputy and Clovis over at the Votech at Burns Flat. Yep. That was one of my punishments.
Oh.
And the two classes I taught was bow hunting and hunting ethics.
Yep. I've had several instances, especially young people that I've caught in my career, 22 years now, that have had to retake classes and actually write papers on those topics and things to present to judges.
Right.
That's some of their punishment. But it's good. One of the things, I'm glad we finally got them out. But for everybody that is looking for the hunting regulations, they are always online, wildlifedepartment.com or the new Go Outdoors OK app.
Yep.
But the actual print versions are hitting stores right now. I've taken care of all of Elk City. Every retail outlet, gun store, Walmart, Atwoods, Elk City Outdoors, Totally Outdoors, H2O Bait and Tackle. I've started getting them out in Sayre, and then I came back over here to hit the show here and talk about it. But I'll have them all out in Beckham County by the end of the day. Tomorrow should have all of Roger Mills County, and probably Custer County will be getting them out. So just look for them in your places that you like to stop and shop, and just pick them up, read them. They don't have the advertisements anymore like they used to, so it's not you're jumping around trying to find through advertisements. So, and it's got the hunting season poster actually on the back of it, so you can kind of take a look at a glance and go, okay, this is when youth gun is, this is when deer gun is, this is when holiday antlerless, and so on and so forth. So,
Man, you're a popular guy. You're gonna bring my ratings up today. Uh-oh. So twice the normal amount of dub between Woodward and Fargo.
Good.
Quite a few birds around Visai.
Good deal.
And then somebody said my tomatoes were delicious. I'm having one with my tuna sandwich right now. Anyway, well, let's discuss. First of all, this weekend, what is it?
This weekend is actually the free hunting weekend for residents of the state of Oklahoma. You do not have to have a hunting license or the harvest information, or what we call the HIP permit, this weekend.
outside of that. So Friday's when season opens, but you have to have it then. But for Saturday and Sunday, you can take a friend, take a neighbor, take whoever, and they don't have to have the licensing things to hunt. They still have to obviously have a plug for their gun. Shotgun can't be able to hold more than three shells, so two in the magazine, one in the chamber. Still have to abide by limits and all the other laws, but you don't have to get the license.
What is the limits, 10?
15. 15 birds, right. And that's an aggregate. I'm seeing more white wings, obviously seeing a lot of the Eurasian collards. Now, Eurasian collards, the ones that you see typically around town, look like a big pigeon, look like they got the ring around their collar. As long as you leave a fully feathered wing or a head naturally attached in the field, they don't have a limit. But if you clean them completely, like a lot of people do, like take just the breast left, you still have to count them in your limit. But if you leave a head and a wing attached to them naturally, then you can kill as many of those as you want. So on the Eurasian collards. But the white wings and the mourning doves are overall limit of 15 per day. No more than 45 in possession after the
and
after
is that what is that, sunrise, sunset?
No, it's 30 minutes before sunrise till official sunset.
Okay.
So you can hunt prior, obviously most of those birds are not coming in 30 minutes before. But sunset is the official stop time. That's to give and that's on all migratory birds, to give birds a chance to go to roost, get rested for the continuation of their journey. So when you see that sun go below the horizon, it's time to quit shooting.
Yeah, you're really popular. Can Lieutenant Edwards try and calm down that crazy game warden down in Roger Mills County? Well, first of all, it's up in Roger Mills County, so you need to.
So we know where this caller, this texter is coming from. So
yeah, so yeah, you want me to give his number out? Anyway, so okay, there's I found out something the other day from Captain Hedrick, and I didn't know this, and I think I'd ask you about it a couple of years ago, but I didn't specify whether it was duck or migratory birds like the dove or for the ducks and geese. So legally, you can go through there on some kind of feed that you got out there and mow some strips for dove.
For dove. It's different. For waterfowl.
Waterfowl.
Waterfowl versus dove is different regulations. They're still migratory birds, but you can, let's say you had a sunflower field and you wanted to mow some strips through it, you can for dove. You can't for waterfowl. And then again, the back to the natural or normal agricultural process. If you go down to the FSA office and for waterfowl specifically, if you go down to the FSA office and it's a normal agricultural practice for,
to destroy the crop or something,
whatever, something like that, that's a different deal. But if it's not a normal agricultural process, then it's not. But dove is a little different. So you'll see guys that'll shred some Milo. You'll see some guys that'll shred sunflowers, things like that, and that's allowable for dove. Okay. You just can't broadcast. You can't just go out there and throw things out. It has to be a normal agricultural practice.
Oh, we're getting to the bottom of the barrel here on a question.
Uh-oh.
If I'm spraying my cotton and I see a massive buck knocking bulls off, can I shoot him?
You need to talk to your individual game warden in your county to deal with any
county.
Kind of depredation issues.
He's in your county.
Uh-oh. No.
Anyway, all fun. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the upcoming seasons. And seriously, if you guys got a serious question to ask Lieutenant Edwards, because it looks like we're going to take up the rest of the show, now would be a great time to instead of calling him. I mean, you're not going to bug him. His phone's 24. I have never not got a call returned back from Lieutenant Edwards. But if you got any questions you don't understand with the rules and regulations or just some crazy question, The text line is open, 580-225-9697. Let's take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, we'll get back, and I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma Long Ranger forecast.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Elk City Rodeo is more than just a rodeo. It's getting together with family and friends, standing up for the American flag and for what's right, pride in who we are. Hi, everybody. Wayne Brooks here, inviting you to the 85th anniversary of the Elk City Rodeo this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Brought to you by Doug Gray Dodge and Ram. Tickets are on sale online at elkcityrodeo.com, at Circle A Westernwear, and at the Arena Ticket Office. The Elk City Rodeo this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. See you there.
H2O Bait, Tackle, and More is passionate about helping you get the most out of your fishing experiences. Whether you're chasing trophy bass or simply spending a relaxing day on the water, they have an abundant selection of rods, reels, hooks, and lures, all from the top brands in the industry. While you're there, they'll hook you up with the right equipment for whatever type of fish you are trying to catch. So come see for yourself the biggest selection of fishing gear and accessories in Western Oklahoma at H2O Bait, Tackle, and More on Pioneer Road in Elk City.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Hey neighbors, Ron Hayes for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with all your fall cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help to address your soil health goals. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Turn that mic on, don't I? Okay, I'm going to do a special weather forecast today. And this is the reason why, Lieutenant James. Yesterday, I had some people on from Woodward and way over there in eastern Oklahoma about that Pay It Forward project they got. Well, come to find out, I have a young admirer, and I mentioned his name yesterday on the radio, but I didn't know how serious this admiring was going on until his parents sent me a message last night with a short video. And he's from Leedy. His name is Till Cassie. He's 4 years old, and he's obsessed with Today in Ag. When he's playing by himself, we catch him pretending that he is you on the radio. And so with our friend Sheila was on there yesterday, and he heard you say his name. I'm pretty sure that I ranked right up there with Santa Claus. So anyway, this is a forecast for teal today. How about that? And Leedy doesn't have a mezzanine center, so I had to go with Camargo. So teal, I appreciate you playing today in ag. You gave me an idea. You and I might have to get a patent and get us a today in ag game going. Yep. So we can sell it to other 4-year-olds. I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, Camargo is 86 degrees, feels like 85. Dew point's 58, humidity's 38, northeast wind at 3 miles an hour, sunset at 8:09, today 91, tomorrow 95, Friday 96, Saturday 95, and Sunday very hot and 98 degrees. So they sent me this video, and I'm going to see if I can get this to play. I'm not sure if I can or not. Anyway, he's doing his best imitation of me. So this is pretty cool. Maybe if I can get it. There we go. Hang on. Let me start all over.
I'm today in ag with Jimmy Clark.
That's good. Anyway, so back to the Oklahoma Wildlife Department regulations. Is there anything interesting going on right out now besides, are they doing, I know they have some turkey experiments going on, or yep, some studies going on and stuff, and I haven't seen any smoke signals from up north, so Marcus hadn't been burning nothing, but as dry as it's getting, I'm sure he's thinking about it. Yep. I don't know, it might be a little late in the year to burn.
It's probably getting a little late. You know, the only other thing, we've had the two instances of CWD positive deer, one all the way out in Optimal, the one I think by Moreland, east, yep, of Woodward. I haven't heard anything official yet as far as what they're going to do this year. I think they're probably going to ask for voluntary drop-offs of deer, like their head and stuff and the spines to do some testing in that area. I haven't heard, but keep your eyes and ears open up there around Woodward for that. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be mandatory, but I think they're going to ask for volunteers that want to bring their deer in and have them tested. So something to keep an eye on there. If you see any deer that are displaying any kind of signs, you know, report it to your local game warden or local biologist so that we can take a look. Sometimes it's nothing. I mean, I've had several instances of deer that we thought might be exhibiting signs, but when it came down to it, they actually had some sort of brain injury due to fighting or a collision with a vehicle or an object or something, and just had infection in their brain, and that was what was causing it. So you never know what it could be. It could be something fairly innocuous. It could be something CWD related, but something to keep an eye on up that way for sure, and all around really, because if it went, it's not like it just jumped from Optimal to Woodward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably there. It's probably been there.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. It's not something that, you know, it's like,
but
oh my gosh.
But we need to help.
Keep your eyes open. If you're seeing something that you think's odd, out of place like that, then obviously report it. But don't sit there and think, oh my gosh, this is horrible, because it's really not. It's been around for decades and decades, and it's not the end of the world just because we have some CWD positive test finally in Oklahoma.
Question time, you ready?
Yep.
Why is Oklahoma considering opening up a velvet antler season?
That bill was ran this last legislative session. It did not pass. Not sure. I guess they had some constituents that wanted that. Obviously, these temperatures, they were talking about it being a late August time frame. We don't typically get good temperatures this time of year for deer hunting or harvesting of deer. And
how would you like to sit out in deer stand right now?
Well, that, and just think, I mean, if you shot a deer right now with a bow and arrow or anything else, you better be getting it taken care of pretty quick.
Short time.
Not gonna happen. Like I said, I don't know. It's hard. It really is hard to preserve that velvet. You have to get it to a taxidermist really quickly. They have to have all the stuff to be able to do it. Used to use, I believe, formaldehyde or formalin to inject into there to get it to stay looking fresh. Because otherwise, once that blood flow quits, that stuff starts drying up and it'll just peel away anyway. So I'm not sure why, but that was something that they did. And we'll see. It may come back again. I don't know.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Yep.
All right. So before I ask this next question, I want you to remember your boss, Wade Freeze, listens to the show, okay? Also, why don't we make it mandatory that you have to take a doe before you can shoot a buck? And I'm on board with that.
You know, we've had that. I've been doing this 22 years, and obviously when I first started, the deer population wasn't what it is now. But to preface that, I'm getting some people in different areas that are saying the deer population's too low, like that we may have had some die-offs either through the drought or something that we just don't know. So that's a highly variable thing. But back to that question of why can't we make that? So the deal from the law enforcement side of it is, how do we enforce that? You're out there in your stand on opening day, and the biggest buck you've ever seen in your life walks out, but you haven't killed your doe yet. Are you going to shoot that buck? I mean, I don't know many guys that's going to be able to not. So then you've made this person into a violator when they're really not necessarily a violator. So we push, one of my fellow game wardens, Marshall Ray from Grant County, posted a deal on his Facebook earlier. It's, you know, it's ultimately the landowner that can put the pressure on the people that are either leasing or have permission to hunt on their property.
And that's very correct.
And they can say, look, before you go to doing anything, you need to kill your does. And we want to put that back into the landowner's hands and say, hey, you have the ability to put that on anybody you allow hunt. With the liberal, we liberalized it out here out west, even northwest. In gun season, you can kill up to 4 deer, only one of which can be antlered. So that means, you know, they could actually harvest 4 does.
Right.
So it's one of those deals that we all play a part, and doe harvest is the known method to regulate numbers in the deer population. So if we're taking does, and we're, you know, I've talked to the biologist Dallas Barber and those guys, and if we can get that doe harvest to 50% of the actual overall harvest, we're doing good.
Well, last year it was probably about as good as I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was really good. We did a really good job last year. If we'll keep that going, keep in the areas that can stand it. Again, like I said, I've had some areas, especially the west side of the county over here, and even up into Roger Mills County, that some of those landowners over there, they're not seeing the deer that they were used to seeing. So they're a little worried, they're a little concerned, and understandably so. We're trying to see if there's anything to that, whether it was condition related, drought or whatever, but we'll see.
Well, landowners along the North Fork of the Red River, if you're missing any does, call me because I have them.
Exactly.
This morning, I thought I'd see last year when those oats of mine just come up in that bottom along the river and just barely come up. And when I pulled in there that night, I cried. But I thought that's the most I've ever – it was like 175, 200. Deer, I don't know if they were all does, but on 30 acres. Well, this morning when I pulled out, holy moly. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the count was. It don't matter. Yep. It was, but anyway, if you're missing some, come get them. And take them home live, dead. I don't care. Anyway, just get them anyway. So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. I was watching a video on social media the other night, and this was a real video. I'm going to give you a scenario and tell me how the best way to handle it. Because if you remember a few years ago back at Fort Cobb, there was an incident at the boat docks there with couple boats. Okay, this is kind of on the same line, but a little different scenario. Say you're out on a lake. You're in a duck blind boat. And a guy comes in there right after daybreak, whether he knows you're there or he doesn't know you there, comes in there to go fishing. And you're duck hunting. What's the best way to handle that, and what does the law say on the lake, on the water? Is there a law saying you have to keep so much distance between you and the boat?
There's, operating boats, so boats underway have to keep a distance between them, 150 feet at least, so a boat's underway. But if boats are moored, there's not anything that says that. So, again, it comes back to ethics and respect. Try to respect each other. Obviously, tempers flare. It seems like anymore that's hard for people to do in this day and time. But the best thing that you can do, is hey, dude, is there someplace else you can go? Now, the law allows for that you cannot interfere with a lawful hunting or fishing related activity of another. So you can't go and intentionally interfere with someone who is legally hunting. Obviously, if they're illegally hunting or fishing, that's a different deal. But which it's not very commonly known that any resident, any citizen of the state of Oklahoma can ask someone to see their hunting or fishing license if they come upon them out there especially like a landowner on his own property.
What if they say no?
Then that's a violation of actual statute. So they can also be cited for that. But again, if someone is engaged in illegal fishing or hunting activity, we don't want you to get into some kind of blown out altercation. Just try to be respectful. Respectful when you say, hey, is there something someplace else you could go? We're trying to sit here and hunt. Make your presence known. Make your case known. If they still don't want to be respectful, try and make a phone call to one of us or something. Maybe we're in the area. Maybe we can come help diffuse the situation, something like that. Like I said, we don't ever want to see what came about with the deal at Fort Cobb or anything like that.
A bad deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good.
That did damage to a nice boat for no reason.
Yeah. And it's just one of those deals that, like I said, it just seems like there's a whole lot less respect and courtesy.
Right. That's the main thing. Because what ended up happening in this deal was the guy in the duck blind boat, he just fired, because the guy in the fishing boat was being calm. He said, give me 5 minutes. I didn't even realize you guys were there because it was camouflaged and had all that. He said, I'm just going to work my way out. And he was moving away from him, but the guy in the duck boat, he just kept running his mouth. And finally, he fired his boat up and just started circling that guy until he bumped him. Well, see, that's when stuff's going to get ugly. Because I don't have that boat now, but I used to have my little Ranger fisherman, and I took a lot of pride in it because it was something I got out of my divorce. It was one of the few things I got out of my divorce. So I took pride in that boat, and man, I'd fight over that boat. So that's just me. So we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and then if you got any questions, text line's wide open. I don't care if you're I would like some interesting questions out of the Texas Panhandle for Lieutenant James. But anyway, we're going to talk about the upcoming seasons with archery, youth, muzzleloader, gun, holiday antlers, ducks. I mean, it's not that far away. October 1st, duck season in the Panhandle, October 7th. Something that started last year, the youth, veteran, and active military for ducks. And turkey fall season's almost here, quail season, pheasant, and of course dove season starts. So if you don't go get your license this week for Friday, you can hunt free Saturday and Sunday. But don't go out hunting without a license Friday, because Lieutenant James is out there.
We're going to be out there.
All right, and we got some questions flying in here. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Yeah, farmers can be pretty tough. Oilfield companies, they need it as long as we give them a fair price. Hey, let's go. Farmers, they're pretty tough because it's a hard world in farming, you know, in the farming market. It's tough, so they're going to do all they can to get the best deal they can, and we're going to give it to them. Everything for maintenance on your equipment, changing your oils, you need some antifreeze, you need some hydraulic oil, any kind of grease. We got the bolts and fasteners now. We're opening up electrical fittings, zip ties, penetrating oils, you know, windshield washers, all your shop towels, hand wash stuff, you know, any type of stuff like that. Anything for like a maintenance shop or something like that where you're doing maintenance work. Just getting everything else that we can to make us a one-stop shop. And if we don't have it there, we're going to get it for you somehow or another. And it's not going to take 2 weeks to get it. Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse. I'm Ronnie Redd. Myself, Brock Kalk, and Casey Miller are your owners at Camrock. Three local guys just looking to do business with our community.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for Tipton. Ag weather coming up, 91 degrees at Tipton. Hello, Steve Clark down there, no kin to him. Anyway, 90, feels like 90. Dew point's 58, humidity's 32. The winds are out of the north, northwest at 4 miles an hour. 24-hour rainfall, zilch. 10-day rainfall, zero. No inversion. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil. Temperature is 91 degrees. We have sunrise at 7:07 this morning, sunset at 8:07. Today hot, 97. Tomorrow hot and 100. Well, in the studio with me right now is Lieutenant James Edwards, game warden for Beckham County, and game warden and wildlife officer for Department of Wildlife here in Oklahoma. Again, thank you for joining me today, and we got a couple questions already. So anyway, but coming up, archery season is not very far away after our first season's dove.
Yeah.
And then we got archery season. What else we got going on?
Man,
here?
You know, it's all like snowball headed downhill after that. You know, everything, the dove season's typical kickoff of the fall hunting seasons, and then, you know, right on the heels of that, you got October 1 with archery. The youth gun stuff is typically going to be tried to be centered around the fall break for schools, but I don't know exactly where they fall for most schools, but it's going to be close. It's October 20th through the 22nd. Muzzleloader, it's always going to be the fourth weekend in October for 9 consecutive days, and then, of course, gun season, and then to round out the year, the holiday antlerless. But then you got ducks. You'll have the down here in this part of the world, not in the panhandle, the regular season starts the 11th of November with a split there from November 26th to December 2nd. But we have that youth, veteran, and active military where they can have one day in front of the regular season and one day after the regular season, where it's
cool.
Just for them. And that's a good deal. I've actually seen several hunters out doing that, and it's a really good deal. Fall turkey, obviously, October 1 coincides with archery season for deer, and then fall gun, which is shotgun only, will be November 4th through the 17th. Quail's going to be upon us before we know it.
No, but, you know, with no more quail that's out there, people don't even need to be worried about it. Sell your bird dogs. Sell the bird dogs, rabbit season will be here pretty quick.
Yep, October 1 through March 15th. And I've been seeing more rabbits.
I have too.
Good deal.
That's a good sign.
I've seen jacks.
Huh?
I'm even seeing jacks.
I'm seeing jacks. I'm seeing roadrunners. Well, speaking of rabbits, this brings this into this conversation. Hi, you all. I'm from Wisconsin. I've always heard that we need to wait for first frost to harvest deer because their meat will be less infected with worms. Have great day, my Western darlings. We're Southerns. But anyway, that's a good question, because I've never worried about worms. But then, like you said during break, I don't want to hunt when it's that hot anyway.
It's just so much harder to try and take care of the meat and salvage everything that you need to off of them when it's hot. So for me, typically, I'm not going to be out there if it's excessive temperatures. I mean, we'll see people out there. There's diehard guys that'll be out there October 1, and that's fine. But you just got to be prepared to take care of the animal and be prepared for anything that might come with that. So
I had a good friend shoot the state record muzzleloader buck in Kansas in late August, and he made a killing with it. Bass Pro buying those antlers and stuff like that, and he's got the duplicates and goes around. So anyway, I mean, you never know what you're missing out on.
Yep.
Another one. We own a family farm in Texas County, which that's got to be up there in Panhandle, huh?
Yep.
We own and lease about 32,000 acres. Would it be frowned upon to go slash some tires of poachers on our land?
Well, you know, this topic has come up, and my dad, being a game warden from 1978 to 2008, actually had this instance happen. Obviously, it's gonna cause some issues with those people. What we recommend, and now with vehicle tag and license plate information, descriptions, be a good witness. Take as much information as you can. Get that information to either us or the sheriff's office immediately. You know, there's one of us per county, pretty much. I have a great working relationship with the sheriff's office here. We have a great working relationship with pretty much all the sheriff's offices around. So if one of us can't get there, typically somebody can. Don't put yourself in a situation that's going to be like the boating incidents or where we just talked about a while ago. Don't get into a conflict. We're trained to handle those conflicts. You guys probably aren't. I'm not saying that you can't handle yourself, but I'm just saying I don't want to see something happen that was not necessary. Let us deal with it. Like I said, take as much information as you can, and exact locations, exact tag numbers, things like that. We can always track them down after the fact. Yeah, so
even if it's a month later.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, take pictures.
Yeah, we've got video and pictures do great. We had an instance out by Sandy Sanders a couple years ago where some guys were poaching. Guy took video and got tag number, vehicle, and evidence all in the video, and that makes it great.
Now, and people up there in Texas County, we're about out of time here. Now, if they're getting ready to run over some of your grass, man, you need to protect that grass.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, hey, thanks for coming in, Lieutenant James.
Thank you.
And I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Quick checks. The first part of October is for setting jugs on Fort Cobb.
There you go.
Anyway, you guys have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. First part of a three-part series with Gary McManus, Oklahoma State Climatologist, coming tomorrow. You won't want to miss it. Pretty interesting.
There's a good mix of music.
Really good.